Torres by the Horns podcast. By the Horns. The Torres by the Horns podcast with national and world champion pistol shooters Jesse Harrison and Casey Eusebio starts now.
Welcome back to another episode of Torres by the Horns. We're your hosts, Jesse and Casey.
What's up?
We're just going to roll with it. You're supposed to, that's where rolling. You pick up.
Oh, okay. Yep. Hey, guys. And then we've got our boss, Brett Voorhees, CEO. He's got really cool things to share with us from his last trip in South Africa. Really cool safari. Oh, yeah. But before that, we'll give a little update on some company. Yeah.
What's going on with Torres? Let's get people in the know.
Yeah, good question. What is going on with Torres? Much the same. We're getting ready to roll out a ton of new product. It's really, really exciting. I don't know when this will air, but a lot of stuff under Rossi, mm-hmm. a ton of really exciting things there in the lever gun world and some things outside of that that I'm pretty pumped about. The revolver space for us has just been incredible. We're full bore there. We used to call them like a focus group, a product mm-hmm. development focus group. I'm going to start changing it to Gun Nerd Day because we bring in these guys and they're like true revolver experts, like going so far down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
But it was so interesting. And I mean, we came out with some new product ideas that like have me so excited. But also like I think we uncovered like several segments of the revolver space that if someone wants this type of gun, there's nothing available.
So
to me, that's super exciting because we can lead the charge into that.
Absolutely.
And hopefully bring something a little different. Yeah, so.
Do you expect those things to roll out?
Some of them we've already been working on a little bit. We're going to do some small tweaks too, but, you know, probably early next year we'll have a few new models that, you know, has been part of this discussion ongoing. But, I mean, some of it, we're talking about all new caliber stuff that has a lot of R&D behind it and stuff. So
that's exciting.
Yeah, it's really exciting. It was a long day with just some way too much knowledge for me to soak in all at once.
Was Caleb in on this?
That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah. Caleb was in, and he Caleb was actually on our very first focus group we did. And Caleb wasn't necessarily a Torres fan at that time, so that's kind of the cool story about how all this got started. But Caleb brought in some of the world's best revolver instructors, people that carried revolvers on duty for years and years, you know, during the LA gang wars and all that stuff. So, like true gunfighters that have used wheel guns.
Gunslingers, if you will.
Yep. So, great people. And it was just a really fun time. We spent a couple of days with them and, yeah, it was just amazing. So, I'm super excited about all that.
That's really cool.
I'm excited.
Nice.
Yeah.
So that's on Rossi, right? You said Rossi Heritage.
Some of it Rossi, some of it Torres.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
a lot of it will be Torres, but definitely some in the Rossi space. You know, our Rossi revolvers have been kicked mm-hmm. off this year and have done really well, and so we want to keep building on that.
Nice.
You know, there was a lot of this discussion, which I'll kind of let the cat out of the bag a little bit. You know, these instructors, a lot of times they're driving all the way across the country or, you know, constantly mm-hmm. in their cars. And they have to be really mindful of where they're going because even like city or county by county, you know, they might not be able to have an AR in their car or something. Mm-hmm. And Rossi's in a really unique place where, you know, with our revolvers and our lever guns, if you are one of these people that jumps in your Sprinter van with your family, is going to go drive around the U.S.
Yeah.
We have 50 state legal guns.
Holy cow.
And so you can throw your R92 lever gun and a wheel gun in the matching caliber in your car, and you don't have to worry about when you get pulled over.
Yep.
Because it's, you know,
that's awesome.
State compliant.
State compliant. And
that is so cool.
You know, I still hate the fact that there's states that do that, right. But yeah. If that's the lifestyle that you want and you want to carry a gun and take it with you, you know, that's a really good solution. So
that's great to know.
Yeah.
What, and I don't know if you would have the numbers on this, but is that do you see that often among other gun companies? Do they have guns like that that are legal in so many states?
There's really not. When it comes to rifles, there's not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think Ruger with Marlin, obviously they have lever action rifles.
Yeah.
And maybe now Henry has a revolver to complement their lever actions. But there's not a lot of other companies that make lever action or revolvers, so that's kind of the tough part for that's barrier really cool. to entry for others. So
yeah,
we're one of the few for sure.
Yeah. All right, so when we get our Sprinter van and we take off, we got to remember that.
Yeah, I want to do that in like maybe 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need a driver, though.
We'll just do hands-free.
You will both fall asleep.
Yeah. Yeah. So we can carry our levers and our revolvers and be good to go. We don't need to have anything else. Yeah, because when we travel, we're going to go to like Florida, or if we go to maybe West. Texas or something.
Yeah.
That's a big deal, understanding what you can bring. I want to bring a long gun sometimes. Like, maybe I shouldn't. I'll just bring this handgun. But
yeah, it's like, well, I want to go, I'm in Atlanta or wherever, and I want to go to anywhere, let's say Nebraska. Well, I haven't looked at the map to see where I would go, but I might have to go through Chicago or Illinois or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, do you go several hours out of your way and then...
Or just pack accordingly.
Or just risk it. Yeah. Which is probably not the best idea.
No.
Would not recommend.
No. Yeah.
So it's a tough thing that you have to manage, especially if you're one of these guys that does travel like that. And
Yeah.
That was really cool.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. We had a great time, though. It was a good, productive week, and we had a lot of fun.
Where was this at? Where'd y'all do this?
We did it at our headquarters in Bainbridge.
Okay, down in Bainbridge.
Super cool. We shot Area 4 with Cody.
Yeah, we did.
Our marketing director. He did a great job.
I was so impressed.
Yeah, he stayed out of our way.
Shooter. He's a real shooter.
Yeah. Yep. And he got us a ton of like really great social media footage. He'd film something and then send it to us, and it's already edited and colored and like
how did you do
ready
this?
To go to IG.
I was just taping and then did it in between runs. I was like, what is this, dude? You're so talented. But he did a great job.
He shot really good.
Yeah, he's super excited. He wants to go shoot more competitions. And he says when he's done with all the spreadsheets, he's going to try to get back on the range with us.
Yeah, he's been tied to his office for a while now. Yeah. But, he's been wanting to get back out shooting more competition. Mm-hmm. He's, I give Cody a hard time because he goes in these phases. But he was competition Cody / cowboy Cody, depending on.
Tactical.
And then, he got real big into tactical training and going to shooter symposium and that whole crowd.
Self defense, Cody.
Yeah.
Which I love great. Doing all those things too. So it's all good. But so he was full bore into that, and then now he's kind of circling back to the competition stuff.
Did you know he has show cows?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Cows that they go and show off.
Yep.
Yeah. He has show cows. He has a pig that lived in his house, or I guess it was when he was in college. He came back and there was a pig walking around the house, and he's an interesting guy. He's got some crazy stories.
Yeah. I've talked to him about all his ranch stuff he has going on, which I didn't know he had that going on alongside of everything he's doing with Taurus. I thought it was really cool, but he said they had show cows. That blew my mind.
Yeah. Yep. I love that he's, in that position. He's a marketing director, but he actually shoots. Like, I don't know any other marketing director that's, with a large manufacturer that goes out and shoots with other people, understands how to...
And does well.
Oh, he's a good shooter.
He's like, really we didn't have good. To hold his hand or anything. Like, he was jumping in on, stage plans with us. And he did good. I was very impressed. And he shot a G3 Tactical.
Very cool. Yeah.
And he shot it well. Yeah. He did a good job.
Kudos, Cody.
Yep. Anything else for Taurus? Anything coming up for the remainder of the year? That you can say now.
Yeah, not that. I mean, just, dropping hints that we're coming with a ton of, just like we always are, but a ton of new products. I think in the first half of this year, we launched over 40 new products. Yeah. And so it's similar cadence to that. But I think some of our launches in the back half of the year are even bigger.
It's going to be really cool.
And so, just really excited for what we're doing.
Yeah, y'all stay tuned.
Yeah.
That's some really cool stuff. Yeah.
Yep. All right. Well, now that we got that out of the way, let's get to the meat of the story here. The reason we're here. Why don't you give them just a little teaser case, and then we'll let Brett take it.
Let's just say we were driving down to Bainbridge for work, and we get a text message from Brett, and it's Brett with, is that it right there?
Yeah, that's
is that the gun.
That's the gun.
Yeah,
460.
Yeah.
Raging Hunter, and it's him holding it next to a Cape Buffalo.
A massive
Cape Buffalo. Yeah. And it's not like, he's like, how cool is this? He just sends the picture, no caption. I'm like, dude.
Total I flex.
Just like, what is this? Like, I immediately FaceTime him and he goes through the whole spiel. It's amazing.
Well, yeah, you know, Wi-Fi and service is spotty out right. there yeah. sometimes, right. you know, so. I had an incredible hunt.
So cool.
You know, capped off with just a, well, it actually started with the buffalo hunt, but it wasn't really the plans. But yeah, so group of friends from the industry, you know, Justin Poirier, our VP of sales, was with me, and then a bunch of our friends who we've traveled all over hunting before. We go out to South Africa, we go hunt with our friends at Crusader Safaris,
yeah,
Eastern Cape, big mountains, free range hunting, all that story there. And you know, like planning those hunts, like for me, I love hunting kudu out there. You know, impala, springbuck, all those things are just fun to hunt. There's so many of them,
right?
Like it's nonstop. You're going to see thousands of animals on that type of hunt. And so that's the reason that we were going. Two of the people that went had never been to Africa before. This is the perfect first hunt. You're going to see all these animals. It's not like, you know, the Limpopo region where you're driving around in a truck all day. You actually can get out glass and do,
you know,
if you've hunted out west in the U.S. at all, it's so similar to that. And, so that's one of the things I really love about it.
Right.
And why I kind of pushed our group to take this trip. And so we did it. And the main purpose was to go hunt kudu. That was like why I wanted to go. And it was just a personal trip, not a, you know, not a company thing. And so we go out there, and actually like leading up to it, I started speaking with, Andrew Pringle, who's the owner of Crusader Safaris, and then Rad Robertson, who is my PH for the trip and one of the guys that I really enjoy hunting with. So I was speaking with them, and I just had this idea ever since we came out with the 460 Raging Hunter of how cool it would be to hunt buffalo.
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh.
And I didn't really understand what that meant when I thought how cool that was going to be, because, you know, after talking to them, they're like, you know, Rad's, he's my age, but he's guided over 200 buffalo.
He's the real deal.
Yeah. And honestly, I probably wouldn't have done it if it wasn't with him.
With anyone else,
I trust that guy so much. And so, you know, there was that aspect of it, you know, and he's like, yeah, we can definitely get it 20, 30 yards. That's typically how close we like to be anyways. And the thing with buffalo is, like, you can shoot them at 150 yards, but that's kind of more like shooting a cow.
Yeah. Right.
And, you know, the other part of that is if they're in a group or something, your follow-up shots get harder the further out you get,
because
they'll start mixing together and stuff. So they generally just like to be closer. Plus it's just a little more action, a little more on edge, you know.
And intimate.
Yeah, you know, and so we weren't like wanting to go get charged. That wasn't anything, and we didn't.
Enough distance. But.
But he's like, yeah, well, you know, 20, 30 yards, that's no problem. And with the red dot on that thing, like, yeah, I'm very comfortable with that. But we start talking about like how we would do it. And it's like, you know, you got to find either a lone bull, like a
dagger boy.
Yeah.
Or, you know, a couple satellite bulls, but you don't want a big herd.
Yeah.
Because once you shoot and they start running and you have a pistol, you're going to end up shooting multiple buff. And so you just got to be really smart about how you play it. And like from the first day there, we were seeing buffalo, but it was so hard to figure out. We saw some satellite bulls, but we couldn't get to them. And then, like, you know, you're just glassing so many different buffalo, and trying to find the right one was difficult. Yeah. And then try to figure out his pattern and figure out where he's going to go. And it's a challenging hunt.
Was this your first Cape buffalo hunt?
It was my first Cape buffalo.
With a handgun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like not even a long gun, just straight to the handgun.
Yeah. You know, I think, it would have been memorable no matter what.
Right. There's no doubt.
But certainly this is, for me, it was Rad's first time ever having someone shoot with a pistol.
Okay.
All that was, you know, It was very exciting for that reason.
Was he nervous at all? Or not nervous, maybe was it cautious, apprehensive? I don't know.
So Rad...
Could you tell a difference in his demeanor as y'all headed out?
So Rad... Well, it's the first time I've hunted dangerous game with him. So, and if you don't know Rad, he's like the funniest guy in the world and, you know, loves joking around, puts some drinks back at night, all that fun stuff. But when it is time to go after dangerous game, he is a totally different animal.
Wow.
And
that's good.
Like, he's very serious about it. You don't screw around. It's game on. And so you can see it, like in the footage, you see us walking and he's dialed in. And, and where we were was pretty challenging because it's really mountainous. So it's very steep mountains, a lot of loose rocks on those mountains, but it's also very thick bush. And so, like, you know, when we were in this like river bottom, we're like on our hands and knees crawling beneath thorn bushes. And, you know, a lot of times, like, there could be buffalo in there. You just can't see them, you know?
Oh,
and,
gosh.
And when they told me how many buffalo were actually on the property or an estimate, I'm like, oh, wow. Yeah, there's probably buffalo all over that we didn't see. You
oh,
know?
My gosh.
How high is the brush that y'all are in?
It depends, but it's overhead, probably 10 feet.
And you can't see probably out past your hands.
Yeah, I mean, there's
some spaces.
There's some areas, and it's like a mix between like thorn bush and like different trees and stuff. Like they had some trees that look like big oak trees.
Yeah.
And but like really heavy canopy, so it's really dark in those areas.
Oh my gosh.
And so it's just like it's difficult hunting in a lot of ways, and but it's also really exciting. And so I guess like where do we go from there with the story? Well, let's talk about the handgun a little bit. So I did a lot of preparation to make sure I was the handgun was like dialed in. I shot a bunch of different ammo. I probably overthought the ammo selection a little bit. And actually I was talking to Jason Hornady a couple of weeks ago right after the trip, and I told him that, and he goes, yeah, I knew that you had overthought that, but you got to figure that kind of stuff out for yourself.
Yeah.
You know? And so, you know, I didn't overthink it enough to where it hurt anything. Like I picked the right bullets for what we did, but the way that everything played out, I don't know that it would have mattered no matter what I shot. So
what did you take ammo wise?
So the first round that I shot with was a 275 grain Barnes bullet. And then every round after that was a Buffalo Bore 300 grain solid.
What's the thought process behind that?
The thought is the first shot, you're going to try to get penetration into vitals, and you want expansion and violence and all that stuff, just like you would with a rifle.
Right.
Yeah.
Every shot after that,
knockdown,
you can't predict what's going to happen. So you're trying to break bones. You're trying to just get rounds into them and penetrate.
Right.
And so, you know, if you're going to hit bones, you want a solid. It could be a headshot. It could be a lot of things.
Heavier grain round, yeah.
Heavier grain, you know, these were all copper solids, you know, big bullets though. But, you know, those Buffalo Bore coming out of that 10.5-inch barrel, they're 300 grain bullets going about 2,100 feet per second.
So with a 10-inch barrel.
So it's I mean, it's a rifle.
Yeah.
The Barnes are going about the same speed. So, but you know, I shot them on targets at 50. Point of impact was almost identical for them, so I felt very good there. You know, I was hoping I wouldn't have to do any follow-up shots at 50 yards because it would be complicated. But yeah, so I probably overthought that part, but at the same time, the way that everything played out, it was the right.
Yeah,
it was the right.
It worked
process.
Out perfectly.
But always better to overthink it than underthink it.
Yeah, and now I know. I don't know that I would have changed anything. Now though, so it's kind of is what it is.
It's always really intimidating to shoot 460. I always see, you know, like when you're grabbing that round, it's like it's a huge round, and then you're shooting it. But once you shoot it through, you know, the 10-inch, it's compensated. It's very manageable. It's almost like shooting a 44 Magnum without the compensator and a shorter barrel.
Have you shot anything with a 460 yet?
A 460? No, I'm too scared. But now that we have the 10-inch and it's comped, I'm like, I'm shooting everything.
We tried to go after Neil Guy that one time.
We tried, yeah.
That's right. That's what I was thinking.
We couldn't get close enough.
Yeah.
But that was like before we came out with the 460, I think.
Yeah, and if we did it with, I think it'd be a lot, maybe a little bit easier to manage to get that shot off with that because you can do a 100-yard shot.
You can. But to your point, like managing recoil, I would go shoot 30 rounds out of that thing in a practice session, and I wasn't like...
Really?
Yeah, it didn't wear me out.
Wow.
You know, ear pro, all that kind of stuff is important because it's loud.
Yeah.
You can see in the video, like I don't typically hunt with ear pro, but I hunt with suppressors most of the time. This, there is no suppressor for it. So you can see I have EarPro on. Rad has EarPro on.
Yeah. That's a smart choice.
The camera guy didn't have enough time to put his on.
Oh, no.
And so, yeah, he was a little rattled. He was probably just where the concussion was like the worst possible.
Yeah, not behind the gun, no just fun. To the side of the gun. Oh, so, my gosh.
Yeah, I felt bad after I found that one out. But
hey, life or death, man.
No, it was it was happening right then regardless if we wanted it to. Right. So,
how many days did it take before y'all got onto a nice Dugga boy? Nice cape.
So we saw this bull on the second day and he was bedded down in the shade. And, so we came back, we were like, it was like mid afternoon, it was hot. And so we went to go eat lunch or whatever. And then we came back, found him again. And we decided to kind of hike in and just see where he was going to go. We were going to try to figure out, you know, does he go for water at 5 PM every day or what does he do? And so he kind of walked, and then we thought he would kind of curve around and go towards this water source, and he didn't. He just kind of moseyed away from us and just kind of stayed on that hillside. And we're like, all right, so we don't really know where he's going. Depending on how far he went around and up this draw is like where those other satellite bulls were. So we didn't know if we would be able to find him again after he walked off. But he was like 230 yards and there was nowhere we could go to get closer to him at that point. And that was actually the one thing where we saw him is Rad said, the one thing we're not going to do is get down below him and try to go up.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to be downhill for various reasons. And I'm going to circle back to that point here in a little bit. So he goes off and we kind of scratch our heads and say, all right, well, I'm guessing he's going to be with those other satellite bulls tomorrow. We go back to camp, have dinner and all that stuff. And, you know, this is the second day. Everyone in the group has already killed 3 or 4 animals. Mm-hmm. They're all like...
Plains game.
Yeah.
Stuff, right?
Plains game. Yeah. Okay. But like when I said I was going to do this with buffalo, my whole focus just shifted to buffalo because it's like you can't really part-time it. Like,
yeah.
I couldn't just go hunt plains game and be like, okay, I'm good. Let's go find a buffalo. Yeah. It had to be the opposite way.
Yeah, be dedicated to it.
Yeah, you got to spend a lot of time looking at them and chasing them and finding them. So we go back to camp, do all this stuff, and then the next day we go to where those satellite bulls are where we can glass them. We're at like 1,300 yards, though. Like we had to drive way up on this hillside, and then they're like, they were in an area where we could not get to. Mm-hmm. We could have gotten to them with a helicopter. It's the only way we could have. And there was a helicopter up there. But there was no way for us to get to them. And we just watched them. There's like, I think 5 of them on this hillside. But the one that we were looking for was not there.
Oh, okay. That's good.
And so we couldn't really tell if they were even good ones or what. But we're like, you know, he could be down the hillside close to them, whatever. We don't know. But, we just kind of kept going. And then that late that morning, we were going back to camp and Rad was driving. Of course, he's on the right side of me cause it's South Africa. So he's on
the wrong side.
Yeah. The right hand drive. And he just stands on the brakes and then throws it in reverse. And I have no idea. I can show you this picture, but I have no idea how he saw this, but through a hole in the tree, he saw the hook of a horn.
Oh my god!
While he was driving,
oh my
god! At around 200 yards, I took a picture of it because I couldn't believe he saw it.
Holy shit! That's insane.
And it was that same buffalo laying under the same tree that we saw the day before.
Oh wow!
And he goes, "That was a big mistake, fella." Like he said, "We're coming after you."
Wow!
And so when I said earlier we were not going to go down below and go up at him, he goes, "We're going to do exactly what I said we weren't. Oh, we're going right after him."
Oh my gosh, this is giving me chills.
And so we leave him for the time being, and we come back like probably 2:30 or 3 in the afternoon.
What time was it when y'all first spotted
probably
him?
Probably like 11:30.
Okay.
So we go back, have lunch.
Siesta.
Supposed to take a nap. There's no chance I was going to take a nap at this point.
Yeah.
And we go back after him. And so that means driving basically to the end of this river valley and walking along the river until we get to the area that he's at.
Yeah.
And the whole time I'm thinking we're going to bump another buffalo or him or whatever. Like, I'm on edge, but everything is dead silent. it's just like...
Like eerie.
Yeah,
silent.
Very eerie. We had some communication problems with the radio. It kept going off and making all this noise. And
who had the radio?
Rad had it, and then he gave it... His dad, Kim, was filming.
Okay.
So he ended up giving it to him to hold because it was kind of like on his back of his belt, and it was... I don't know what was happening. When it actually became go time, we were kind of hiking in along this river bottom, and we get really close to like the area that he was laying in, and we start working our way uphill just slowly. And, we're looking, and the first time I saw him when we were actually in there, we had worked our way kind of up the hill, maybe 40 yards uphill, mm-hmm. but it's steep. Mm-hmm. And I just see like what felt like boulders, but they're just rocks coming downhill. And he was about 30 yards uphill from us, and the wind had shifted and went straight up.
He winded you.
And so I didn't know if he was coming down or going up.
Yeah.
Because that's why we didn't want to be below him.
Yep.
If he charges, he's coming downhill at you.
And he's getting a lot of
momentum. The momentum, yeah.
And there's not a lot of trees or anything you can do. You know, if you shoot him, he's going to come downhill or roll downhill.
Yeah.
So you don't want to be below.
It's a bad situation.
Yeah. So
So you said rocks are coming down at you. Is that from where he ran?
Yeah. When
up?
He took off going uphill, the rocks kicked down.
Okay.
But, I'm looking over here and all of a sudden I hear this up here.
Oh,
and of course, Rad's standing there with his rifle just watching him.
Okay. He does have a rifle.
Yeah. He had a rifle back up. So we're like, okay. Hmm. He runs uphill. We do have a tracker that's like across the canyon watching this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so tracker says he ran uphill, but he didn't say like how far he ran uphill or what direction, or there was a language barrier.
Okay.
Tracker spoke one language, Rad and his dad don't speak that language, whatever. So the buffalo runs uphill and Rad just kind of says, okay, let's cut back this way and we're going to try to get above him. And so it probably took us an hour to get up because mm-hmm. it's steep. But we're in the shaded part. It's kind of dark. It's probably only like 4 o'clock in the afternoon,
mm-hmm.
but it seems really dark in the canyon that we're in.
Because of the canopy.
Yeah. The sun can't hit there and it's kind of thick canopy on the trees.
Yeah.
So yeah, we start working our way up there, and after I don't know how many times of Rad yelling at his dad for hitting the button wrong on his, it was just a comedy of errors, you know, and
chaotic.
It wasn't funny at the time, but it was really funny after the fact. We come face to face with the buffalo at 10 yards and we're eye level. We're not above him like we want to be.
Did you expect to come face? Like, did you know he was going to be right
there?
We
just worked our way kind of up this hill and he must've been laying down. And as we kind of like settled in and we're kind of looking, he stood up, saw us and ran directly away from us.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
That's so scary.
So we've bumped him twice now, which is
so
not,
he knows you're now pursuing him.
He's aggravated.
He's definitely seen us. The first time he definitely smelled us. We don't
now
know if he saw us.
You.
He saw us this time.
Oh, gosh.
That's scary.
There's not a whole lot more intimidating than this.
Yeah, it's a big ball of muscle.
There.
Like,
yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And they're just angry.
Yeah.
You know,
they're ornery.
When you see them and when they look at you, even if you're in the car, like they don't move out of the way for you.
No, they don't
They
care.
Just look at you with hate. And it's like, oh, man, like. It's not like shooting a cow.
No.
Yeah. Like maybe bison here.
Yeah.
It's a different story. And bison will definitely charge people too. But like these things.
Aggressive.
They are very aggressive.
There's a writer. It might have been Hemingway, but said they look at you like you owe them money.
Yeah.
And it is definitely true.
Yeah. And I had been.
Not happy.
I had been on the ground near them, maybe 50, 60 yards away.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt nothing like what this felt like.
Yeah.
Like it was a totally different thing.
The aura,
yeah.
The atmosphere probably felt dense. Oh.
And so, it buggers off. Like it's.
Okay, good.
Leave me alone.
Running side hill and
the
tracker radioed to us that it went up and over this ridge.
Yeah.
And so at this point, Rad's like, we're not going to be able to get to, we're not going to catch it chasing it.
Yeah.
It's like, let's go back to the truck and see if we can get a spotting scope out and we can look up that draw and see if he's walking around and we'll just kind of call it for the day. And at this point, I'm like, let's call it for the trip. Like,
I'm done.
I need to change my underwear.
It wasn't that I was, like, it was exhilarating. It was scary.
Yeah.
But it wasn't that I didn't want to do that anymore. It was like, okay, we got that part of the hunt, and I don't care. I do care about shooting it, but I don't need to.
Yeah.
Like, we've done this part.
Yeah.
And I want to go shoot kudu and all this other stuff that all my friends are shooting, and I'm not. So, like, part of it was that frustration, because I'd see these animals that I want to go hunt, and Rad would just keep on driving.
Yeah.
He's like, we're not going to waste time.
Don't look at that.
You know, with whatever. And so, we're walking down to the truck, and I'm trying to figure out how I want to tell Rad that we're not going to hunt buffalo anymore. And so I'm just like, you know, whatever. And as we're kind of making our way downhill, we hadn't gone very far. The tracker radios back and says he's coming back. And of course, Rad's like, coming back where? From what direction?
Y'all are going downhill, you said?
We were going back downhill, but we probably had only dropped downhill like 20 yards. We had side-hilled it kind of. So we kind of followed his track and then started going down.
Yeah.
And Rad's like, what direction? He's like getting mad because the information is like only half complete, you know? And it's like important, like what direction is he? Above us?
A little bit.
This animal can kill us.
Yeah. And so Rad just uses his instinct and goes, let's climb. So we went straight uphill. And
he's got balls of steel, doesn't he?
He's not afraid of any of that stuff.
Like to not have eyes on and be like, yeah, let's just go up, as opposed to just like, all right, let's just go over here instead.
Yeah.
He said, no, let's go.
But here's the thing with those guys. So, and there's a lot of guys that specialize in dangerous game. Rad is definitely one of them. He's one of the best. But we had probably 5 or 6 PHs that their specialty is dangerous game, whether it's elephant or buffalo or whatever. Rad's is probably buffalo, but he's guided it all. Mm-hmm. Every single one of them has had friends that were killed.
Ugh.
Every single one of them.
Yeah.
And so they know exactly what they're up against.
Yeah.
But they don't really think of it that way. Like they don't, it's not that they don't care, I don't think, but they're
prepared.
They're ready.
Yeah.
And they've spent so much time around these animals hunting them. They know what, like you said, he trusted his instinct, go uphill. I mean, you kind of learn, just like with hunting anything here in the States, you kind of learn the patterns of certain animals and what they are and will and will not do. But I mean, it just takes it to a whole nother level, being dangerous game. And having the nerves to stand out there and say, okay, well, let's go do this. And
when I was 18 years old, I went off and went to college and was drinking beer with my friends and stuff. Rad went to Zambia to work for one of the best dangerous game PHs out there.
He's been doing this since he was a kid.
He started when he was 18 and did his apprenticeship. And, you know, I think on one of his very first buffalo hunts that he was on his own without his mentor or whatever you call it, I think he got charged.
Oh.
And so this was not the closest that Rad had killed a buffalo, which we'll get to. But Rad on that hunt, and his whole thing getting, when he was like kind of the young gun apprentice, he was telling the older guys, you know, I want to have a buffalo charge. And every single one was like, no, you don't. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't want them to charge. If you could get through your whole career without them charging,
that's,
you are a very
something.
Lucky man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like one of his very first hunts where he's on his own,
he
shot one at 2 yards.
That's like me to you.
Yeah. The thing had hooked its head down like it was getting ready to hook him. He shot it right in the eye.
It hit him?
Yeah. Oh. It dropped him.
No, I'm saying, did the buffalo get into him? It just folded and dropped right there.
No. Jeez. From the way I understood the story, Rad was standing in front of his client and he backed the client up into a bush.
Yeah.
And so they had more space, and he pulled up and shot it as it was trying to hook.
Wow. Oh, my God.
And that's what I'm saying. He's got balls of steel because you've got two options at that point.
Fight or flight.
No, you leave, or you're going to go up. And he was dead set on getting you a good Cape Buffalo.
Yeah, the amount of work that those guys put in is unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, whatever the tip is, it's not enough because they are not only are they putting in the hours, and they're making sure, like, at nighttime – you know, when you're back from the hunt, you're sitting around the fire having a beer. They're making sure everything is ready for the next day.
For the next day.
And the plans are set. And and well, everyone's clear.
Also, I mean, their life's on the line too. Like they're out there and like they're gonna most likely he's gonna get in front of you, push you out of the way if something's mm-hmm. happening. Like
yeah,
it's like a bodyguard out there.
Yeah. So we go straight uphill, and I can remember this point where Rad's like, you know, you could tell he's frustrated with the language barrier.
Yeah.
And we're standing like at a fork in the road, literally. There's like this trail that we're standing on that's probably like 8 inches wide, and you can go straight or you can go up. Mm-hmm. And that's what he's like, let's go. So we go up this hill, and I feel like I was walking so loud. I just remember like, and I have like electronic muffs
on. Yeah, it makes it worse.
Oh, yeah. And you're yelling, yeah, talking.
And you know, when I thought we were close to it, I just put them on and I never took them back off. And so I had these on and like, so everything's amplified anyways.
Right.
And, you know, every step I take, I'm just like, I'd step on a little twig and it would break and Rad would just shoot me this look. And I'm like, sorry, you know.
First time.
Yeah.
It is embarrassing when your guy's like, dude, quiet down.
Well, yeah. And so we get down this path a little ways and directly uphill from us about 30 yards, again, rocks coming down.
Oh,
and then I hear this like barking sound. Well, they were fallow deer.
Fallow
deer are, you know, non-indigenous to South Africa. But Andrew Pringle, the owner of the property, when his family came, they were the first Scottish settlers in South Africa. When they came in 1820, they brought fallow deer from the UK because they didn't know what the food source was going to be like.
200 years ago.
And so, and these things just thrive in this environment. There's fallow deer everywhere. You know, these fallow deer, they're moving around and making all sorts of noise. Mm-hmm. And so we're like, you know, cussing at them and all this stuff. And
get out of here.
I still felt like we were being so loud. They're being loud. And at that time, the tracker radios and says, you're right on top of the buffalo. And we're standing on this trail. There's this big kind of grassy patch right in front of us. So it's like open. And there's this bush right in front of us right here. And we're like,
oh my God,
where?
There's no buffalo.
And Rad's standing about to where you are, maybe just a half step closer to me. And then Kim, his dad, is like to my right. And we're just kind of looking, and Rad just sees in the bush, sees a horn move. And he's like, so he points down, and like right here, there is a skinny bush about this wide. And I have a tripod in one hand and my pistol in the other.
Oh,
and I'm like,
gosh. I don't know what to do.
What do I do?
Yeah, so I set the tripod up against this bush, and I'm like, if you fall over right now, I'm so mad. You know, like, it's just one of those things with everything. Stayed put or whatever, and I pulled up, cocked the hammer back in a single action, and kind of leaned forward, and right, you know, the buffalo was at 4 yards. Just 4 yards directly downhill
below
from
you.
Us. Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
So the decision go uphill was
very smart.
Was spot on.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And there's just this, you know, maybe 16 inch wide hole in the bush where I could see the back of its head and the top of its shoulder, and I'm kind of angling down, and it's kind of quartering away almost. I'm shooting down at it at an angle that way. And so I pulled the hammer back, pulled the red dot up, didn't even think about the cameraman.
Yeah.
At this point, I was shooting.
No.
At this point, you got to
4 yards.
Make it happen.
Pull the trigger. Thing drops and then tries to stand up. Pull the hammer back. Shoot it again. At this point, it just starts rolling down the hill.
Oh, thank God.
And you can see in the video, like, when I talked to Jason Hornady before the hunt, he said, just shoot it until it stops moving.
Yeah.
That's the rule with buffalo.
Yeah.
Because you do not want to go try to recover a wounded buffalo.
No.
That's
no,
when...
No.
Because they'll go into, like, thick brush. And
they'll ambush you.
Yeah.
They will wait for you to come and then come at you.
Oh, my gosh.
And so every time I had an opportunity as it was rolling down the hill, if it, like, stopped,
yeah,
I'd put another one in. And it didn't matter
where.
Didn't matter where.
Yeah.
It was like if I could see black, I was just shooting. And so you can see in the video as I'm shooting, you know, there's one point where I pull a hammer back and then I'm trying to get a good shot and I put the gun down and then all of a sudden I pull it up and shoot real fast because they had just like presented a shot.
Wow.
And by the fifth one, I was I'm like going to reload.
Yeah.
You know, I had reloads on my belt, you know, eject the shells. Those hot casings kind of expand a little bit. So I'm like just hammering on the ejector.
Was it hard to put shells back in?
I dropped one. I actually thought my reload was pretty good.
Nice, under pressure.
And the camera guy actually asked, he's like, how did you reload that so fast?
Wow.
But, you know, think about that. So
yeah,
a lot of people hunt with a bolt action. With a, let's say a 375, you probably got three rounds, maybe four if you top it off. Double rifles are clearly two.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have five rounds of very effective ammo. It's not a bad thing. And then reloading, it's pretty easy.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Were you shaken? Were you just like jacked with adrenaline?
So
adrenaline?
You can see in the video where I go to reload and I drop one. I turn over and pick it up. All right. Bend over and pick it up. Throw the round in the cylinder, close it. And then I look at Rad like, do I need to keep shooting? Mm-hmm. And at this point, he already has his earmuffs on off. Like, he was already celebrating. But I'm sitting there, like, thinking, I got to keep going,
yeah.
You know? And you can just see, I probably asked him four times before he was like, yeah, we're good, we're good. But you can see when I first start shooting, you can see his face there in the video, too.
Yeah.
And he's just, like, he's just looking at me. His jaw is to the floor, like, on what's happening in front of him.
Oh, my gosh.
He never took his rifle off his shoulder.
Yeah.
He did flip. He flipped the safety off.
Wow.
As soon as he saw a buffalo, he flipped the safety off.
Yeah.
And he wasn't going to make any quick movements, but you know, he was even closer to the buffalo, up towards its head, where you know, I think the horns were just blocking the peripheral a little bit. Mm-hmm. But if he would have turned just a little bit, he could have seen Rad.
Oh my gosh.
And so, yeah, it just played
this
out
is
so wild.
Just hearing the story, I can't imagine being there and being in it.
Yeah, it was wild, and it really was like roller coaster of emotions.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
You know, the first time we bumped him and he's directly uphill, it was terrifying.
Yeah.
The second time we bumped him and you could see he was clearly running away was not nearly as scary, but it's like, okay, we bumped him twice. Like, mm-hmm. how many times can you do this before
he gets
mad?
Yeah.
Or he doesn't feel like he has anywhere to go except for towards mm-hmm. you know? So it's just like that kind of unnerving or, you know.
And then the third time, he says, you're right on top of him and you don't know where he's
at.
We
can't see him.
Yeah, he's 4 yards,
what if
5 yards
he would have been same distance right above you? Ugh,
it
would have been
it
like
been
different
been
story.
Scenario.
Yeah.
It would have been terrible.
That is unbelievable.
Gosh. So how many shots did it take? Five?
I shot
five
him five times.
Five. Okay.
Yeah, I shot him five times. Probably didn't need to. The first two,
doesn't
I
matter.
Think, probably safe. Did him in.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, you could see the impact on the video that we have. That first round, he dropped so hard.
Oh, my gosh.
And I mean, you can see.
And it's basically point blank. So he's getting all of that energy.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're shooting a rifle.
Yeah.
In a handgun package.
Yeah.
I saw the video, and you're right. You see Rad's face, and he's like, oh, my God. What just happened? Like, his eyes are open. His earmuffs are off. And he's like looking. He's like, I can't believe that happened.
He's just wiping his face because we're both just dripping in sweat.
Oh, yeah.
During this, too, because it's so hot.
Yeah. I mean, like, the platform that you use also dictates the difficulty and the experience that you're going to receive in that hunting trip. And you can tell, like, if you did it with a rifle, it'd be like, okay, that was cool. It was close. It's cool. Did it with a handgun.
Yeah.
Like, you joined a different league of hunter mm-hmm. on a Cape Buffalo. Like, the way I think about it is, like, you know, you're in the United States, you shoot, like, an elk, you're part of that, or you shoot a sheep, even more prestigious, mountain goat. But, like, you go to Africa, you shoot a cape, which is very, very cool experience, very prestigious, and then you do it with a handgun. Like, what a bucket list adventure. Like, you would, is that, if you were to rank that, you've hunted a lot, if you were to rank that amongst your hunting trips, what would you say that was? That experience, that hunt.
Well, yeah, the buffalo hunt, I think, for me, is the top so far.
Number one.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, the top. You know, and
insane.
I have other hunts that are coming up too that, you know, have been higher on my bucket list than hunting Cape Buffalo. But the way that it played out, the fact that I was with Rad and went back to camp, I think I got back to camp a little bit before everyone else. And so I'm just sitting there drinking a beer and, you know,
trying
people,
to wind down.
Well, and who knows what my emotions were like at that point. But, you know, everyone's coming up, hey, how was your day? And I'm like, oh, it was pretty good or whatever, you know, just like trying to be cool, you know, and everyone's, you know, they probably think, oh, he didn't get a buffalo again, you know. And so they like, oh, I'm going to go make a drink, and they'd like leave me alone. And so I think it took me a little while before someone was like, who's buffalo? I heard you got the buffalo or whatever.
Let's see it.
Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah, that night was the greatest. It was like, I remember Andrew Pringle, who, so quick story about Andrew Pringle and his wife, Julia. So they live on this property mm-hmm. that we're like, you can see in some of the video, you can see the camp. Like mm-hmm. it's, I don't know, maybe a mile away, but you can see it in the background. They run these trails and like.
Like run them, yes. themselves?
It, yes. Like exercise.
Like exercise. And
with all this dangerous game out there?
The terrain is worse enough. Like running up and down these hills would yeah. just kill me.
Yeah.
But they run into buffalo all the time. And like,
what do they do?
Like the week before, Andrew had to jump up in a tree and he was up there for an hour waiting for the buffalo to go away. Because he's just running. He doesn't have a rifle on him or anything, you know?
Oh,
he's just
my
exercising.
Gosh.
And his wife is apparently like a buffalo magnet. They just.
Really?
They'll pop out in front of her all the time. She's taking cover over a rock while they were like running and stuff.
That
like,
is terrifying.
And it doesn't faze them, I guess? Or they're just they're used to it?
It doesn't faze
Big
them.
Big balls. I mean, like literally they're.
Hurt
it's
you.
It's a different like lifestyle there, you know? Like you're living amongst this
yeah,
dangerous game, like
to,
some of the most dangerous game
yeah,
in the world.
Come to terms with what your surroundings are if you're going to live in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Lifestyle.
That's
and
wow.
you know, there was a cow buffalo that'd come into camp every night.
Was she,
like,
was she
was
like,
it like a pet?
No, it would charge people. it charged Andrew.
Oh my God.
Justin Poehler was like FaceTiming his wife and he could see the buffalo, but it was kind of like in the dark, like it was dark outside. So yeah. it was like in the dark part of Andrew's front yard.
Yeah.
And Andrew comes walking out just like, you know, with drink in his hand. And I think Justin was about to say, hey, be careful. The buffalo's right there. And the thing charged Andrew. And as he went to run, he slipped and fell. And Justin's sitting there FaceTiming his wife like, I'm watching this guy get, you know,
about to get
the owner
trampled.
Is going to get killed.
Oh, my God.
And so he ends up getting up and made it out of there or whatever. But, you know, we had to carry guns around for that.
Yeah.
You know, some people had like a Red Ryder BB gun and would shoot it and it would run off.
I feel like that's a bad idea.
That's like the opposite of what I want
yeah.
to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
So with that scenario, would they eventually shoot? That buffalo?
They're going to have
to. I mean, I feel like that's going
to
be dangerous.
They're
going
to have to.
Yeah.
And they might have by now. I don't know. They were talking about it when I was there.
I mean, you can't let it continue to do that.
No.
That's dangerous.
No. And it was like always with its calf and stuff.
Oh,
so
it's
even worse.
Yeah. So like they didn't want to shoot it because the calf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The calf was bigger. Like, I feel like it would have been fine.
When it becomes of age.
Yeah.
We'll throw it a quinceañera and then mama's got to go.
Did you ever have a big adrenaline dump afterwards and how long did that take?
Yeah. Like it was like
after the fact, you know.
It was like a day and a half. Like,
oh.
When it hit? Like or when your adrenaline
when adrenaline like the next night I was exhausted.
Yeah.
When did you call us when we FaceTimed? Is that the night after?
I think it
Night of.
It was the night of. It had
night
to
of.
Be.
You were really chill.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
But you're always chill. You're always even keel.
Yeah. None of that seemed real at that point.
Yeah.
Like
it hadn't really sunk.
None of it had just happened. Like it was weird. But yeah, it was like I was on a high for over a day.
Yeah,
I would love to go back and look at your Apple Watch history.
The heart rate.
Yeah, and I don't wear an Apple Watch.
What?
Whoop.
Okay, I'm giving you one next time you go.
Yeah. But
what your heart rate was.
Would you do this again? No, now knowing what it all entails and what could happen, would you do a handgun Cape Buffalo hunt again?
I would do it again. Yeah. Like I would probably train it a little differently.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably spend a lot more time like. So I, going back like a little over a year ago, I did a dangerous game course at FTW with the Raging Hunter.
That's
yep,
right.
I saw that.
Yeah.
So like that was like to kind of get a feel for it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know I was doing it at that point, but I was like, yeah, it'd be cool to do one. Mm-hmm. And so I went and did that course, filmed it with Michael Bain. And a lot of that was like charging targets and you're shooting in double action. I didn't train any of that right before I went. I would do more of that
mm-hmm.
for sure.
Closer shots as well, huh?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I was ready for like the 25-yard shot.
Yeah.
I figured that's what was going to
play
50. Out. Yeah, you know, and there was a lot of times where we would like go and like peek over a ridge because like he's like buffalo like to hang out right mm-hmm. down in here, and I just thought like that's how it's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to sneak up. We're going to see, like, the top of its back, and we're going to get real low and sneak up. And I'm going to be behind, like, this rock fortress where it can't get to me. And then I'm going to, you know, shoot
I'll
it
be on
30
my tripod.
Yards. Yeah.
Super stable.
That's why I carried a tripod
yeah,
around.
Yeah, yeah.
If I would have known, I wouldn't have had a tripod.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? So there's probably a few things that I would do differently, but I would do it again.
It's very extreme. Like when you're hunting with a rifle, you're training for the furthest possible shot. I want to feel comfortable at 700 yards.
Yeah.
This is the opposite. It's like, man, you want to feel comfortable at 10 yards pulling double action. Like that is
Did you shoot any of your shots double action or no?
No, I cocked the hammer on all of them.
You were able to cock, yeah.
I would too.
I'd have to.
I would too. I mean, like.
Otherwise, I'd like have holes in the dirt.
Yeah, yeah. Low left, low left. Low left.
Dancing around.
Yeah, at that point, it was like for dramatic effect anyways because it was. I will say, I think I got hits on all shots, I think, but one of them was in the horn.
Seriously?
Yeah,
You can't tell in the photo.
There's a couple of
situation, who cares? But
care.
It didn't mess up.
It's
the,
even
it
cooler.
Just, it just penciled through. It was a solid. It was a solid. It just went straight
that's
through.
That's cool.
Oh, wow, it didn't shatter or anything.
No,
that's really cool.
Yeah.
Good story.
Yeah, it was wild though.
What was the angle that you saw at that point? Did you just saw black and pull the trigger, or was he more facing and it went through the horn and then into him?
I don't know which one hit. It
chaos.
He was just tumbling.
Yeah.
And like
I see it, black, I shoot.
It tumbled for probably 30 seconds.
Oh.
Like the whole time I'm shooting in the video, he was tumbling.
Downhill. Wow.
And so like it was just like, hey, as long as he's moving, well, he's technically moving because he's rolling
still
downhill.
Shooting.
I had no idea if he was alive or not.
Yeah.
I had no clue.
To be in your shoes at that moment would be just so great. I feel
Yeah. Well, and then even then, it's like we're uphill, kind of watching him, and I'm like, I'm getting in my own head, like, I think I see him breathing. You know, like, I can't see him breathing.
Everything's heightened.
You know, but I'm, but I'm like,
he's breathing.
Is his belly moving?
Yeah.
You know,
up,
and Rad's just like laughing or whatever, and. Yeah, so once we actually got down there and got hands on him and he didn't, like, get up and run or – because I've had that happen too.
Yeah.
Right.
With a buddy. When we actually could, like, poke him in the eye and he didn't do anything.
Yeah, tell us about
that's,
the approach.
That's important.
Tell us about the approach.
Yeah,
recovery.
We kind of, like, gathered our thoughts and I we sat up there, you know, before walking down to him. Rad and I talked for a couple minutes. Mm-hmm. And he's like, all right, let's go. Let's go approach him slowly. And he's like, I'll lead the way. And yeah, I think he might've asked me like, you know, you're cool. If I have to, I'm going to shoot it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, of course,
please
shoot whatever you want.
Takes, yeah.
So
I have two kids.
Yeah. I'm like, shoot him right now. I don't care.
I've got team chores to get back to.
Yeah. Yeah.
A podcast to do.
Yeah. I got to tell everybody about this.
So we walk down there just very slowly and he walks up and as we get closer, he throws a rock at it.
Yeah.
He doesn't move obviously. And we like approach it to like its ass and he pokes it with the rifle and does nothing. So it's like, all right. And he walks around and starts poking in the eye.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
Once you can do that, you're good.
Yeah. You're good to go.
But you could see bolt holes in him and, it's like he was bleeding. Like,
yeah.
What was his weight? Like that mass? What was it? What did he weigh? You said it was something ridiculous.
Well, so I don't know exactly how much because they gutted him that night and then they sent a recovery team up to get him the next morning and they cut him up. So I don't know. They probably quartered him or whatever, but you know, they're 2,000
plus.
Yeah. 2,000 plus.
Easy.
And not one round, except for the horn, not one round went through.
Oh.
It soaked all of
them. That's how dense he is.
Yeah. I mean, they're like a freight train.
Yeah.
Just soaked them up.
Yeah.
So, and I wasn't there when they started taking them apart. So I couldn't see you know, was it.
What it actually did.
Where did it penetrate to? Was it, you know. So it would have been really interesting to see that part.
Yeah.
But yeah, at that point I was already downhill having a gin and tonic, you know.
As you should.
A well-deserved gin and tonic.
A few gin and tonics.
So.
Oh, my gosh.
And then, of course, like, so, yeah, we do all the pictures. We do, like, a story about it, you know, where we talk, you know, Rad and I sitting next to the buffalo and we talk about what happened and just wild, you know, story, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And then Rad's like, all right, we're going to go ahead and gut this. Why don't you and my dad go down to the truck? Fix yourself a drink. We'll be down there in 15, 20 minutes, whatever. Like, okay, cool. So his dad takes off down the hill first and he's got the camera or whatever. He's just like walking. He's not filming. I go and try to take a step and it seems like neither of my feet were on the ground for some reason. I just go completely flat on my back and land on the like pointiest, biggest rock possible,
oh
like
my
in between
gosh.
And so I'm just like, like I was totally fine, wasn't hurt, but I'm like, I hope he wasn't filming that, you know? And Rad's like, oh my God, Brett, are you okay? He starts like kind of freaking out. I'm like, I'm fine. I'm getting up. I don't know how that happened.
Let's not talk about it. But was that because your legs gave out, or you just like slipped?
Just slipped, or I missed the step and then like tried to make up for it with my other foot. Yeah. Like it was just the weirdest thing. Both legs just go.
At least you held your composure during the hunt.
We're good. Yeah. We're good. The important part.
Yeah.
It's like, I brought this guy out with a handgun.
Yeah. Super athletic. That is,
what a trip. Oh, that is unbelievable.
Gosh. Yeah.
As far as a Cape buffalo's dangerous level, hippos are quite dangerous, crocodile quite dangerous. What do they rank in Africa?
So I think the animals that kill the most people are the snakes.
Black mambas.
Yeah, black mambas and puff adders, and then probably hippo.
Hippo.
But hippos, I don't think they kill as many hunters. They're typically like, you know, farmers that are fetching water and, spend a lot of time in the fields next to water, that kind of stuff. Where hippos, they have an interaction there. I think for hunters, I think Cape buffalo's the most dangerous. I think more people, because when they do charge, it's typically after they're wounded, and that's when, you know, people get in bad shape with them.
Yeah.
That's why, like, I really don't think you should shoot one at 150 yards.
No. Like you said, they're probably with a herd, or they're going to be able to get away, get somewhere hidden, and the last thing you want to do is go in after anything wounded in Africa, in my opinion.
Yeah, and that follow-up shot is going to be so important. Yeah. Like, you're going to want to be closer.
Yep.
You don't have to be at 4 yards. You can do it at 50 or 40. Yeah. Like, that's fine.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You have to be that extreme, right? It's still cool.
Yeah.
Cooler. What was Rad's take on everything when y'all finally got back to camp and you're kind of hashing out the story? Like,
well, so the first thing is, like, I think it's a point of pride that, like, we got it done.
Yeah.
So he was like, you know, I go down and I make him a drink, and then I make myself and Kim a drink, and we're sitting there waiting for them to come down after they gut it, give him a drink, and we're kind of celebrating. He's like, I cannot believe that, you know, all that stuff. We get back to camp, and, you know, he tells me, like, that is definitely the closest I've had a client shoot. And, you know, I know a couple of people have shot at like 9 or 10 yards with him. So, like, they get close no matter what. But he's like, I don't know that I ever want a client to shoot closer than that.
No.
No. I feel like closer than that, they're charging.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, he was like, it was just epic. Like, never going to forget that. He sent me a voice memo on WhatsApp like a couple of days ago. And he's like, you know, I'm still thinking about that hunt.
Wow.
Which, of course, I am, too. I think about it every day, I think.
Yeah. But for someone, like, I mean, I wonder if he even knows how many Cape buffalo hunts he's done, or just how many times he's been out in the bush in, like, close call situations.
Yeah.
For that one to still stick out in his mind, that tells you how epic it was.
Yeah, so they don't really have, like, an off-season there, and I bet he probably does, like, 15 to 20 buffalo a year.
Jeez,
and so, but he told me last year, the last hunting season and like show season, because they kind of loop it all together, he slept in his own bed for 27 days.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, in a full year. And so he is, I mean, he's in the bush every single day.
Yeah.
Wow. And if he's not in the bush, he's traveling to go pick up a client to take him into the bush, you know. Yeah. So, you know, and half of those days are probably with Kevin Brittingham or whatever.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He's always with him. So, yeah, he's done a bunch, but he said he's done over 200 buffalo, and yeah, that one was, you know, I don't know if it was the most exciting, but certainly one of them. And
I feel like it would be.
Yeah, it was.
I mean,
it didn't
charge, but anything could have happened so fast, and your reaction time.
If he took a bad shot, it could have been a different story. Yeah. It was a good shot.
If y'all ended up below it, could have been a different story.
That's the other thing is, you know, like, the degree of difficulty with a pistol is probably higher than shooting with a rifle.
Definitely.
You know, so your shots definitely matter. You know, he told me, and I'm not kind of patting myself on the back, I don't think I had a choice, but he told me, like, most clients, or he's had, you know, a handful of clients that would have been back at the truck by then. Like, they would have turned and ran.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I didn't really think I had an option of doing that.
Yeah.
Like, it was never discussed. He never told me to shoot it. It was just like, I saw it, pulled the gun up and shot it.
Yeah.
And then kind of after everything settled down, before we went up to the buffalo, he actually pulled me aside. He goes, just so you know, I didn't get a look at him. I don't even know if that's the same buffalo.
Doesn't matter. He's like, 4 yards.
He goes, I couldn't see the front of his horns. Yeah. I don't know what he looks like.
Well, honestly, that was your only option of survival,
He goes, we weren't getting out of that without shooting him.
Yeah.
So if it's a young bull or something, we'll claim self-defense because we weren't going to get out of that. Yeah. You're not backing away from that, no. You know? Yeah,
not that close.
But it was a trophy bull.
Yeah, it was a mature bull. You know, it probably wasn't like the oldest. And so like if you're wanting to go shoot a 15-year-old buffalo that's like on his last year of life, you know, and they're all busted up and there's all that, those are the buffalo you want to shoot.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because they're done doing what they do and they're gonna probably die. So like that's the idea, but certainly this is 8 or 9 year old buffalo. It was mature, it was hard bossed, all that.
And I looked at like prior to I was expecting a picture from you and it would be like maybe like a smaller size.
I just
bowl.
Figured you would shoot whatever anything you
could
that, get on.
Yeah,
right
whatever
away,
you were able to shoot. And and I saw the picture, I was like, did you shoot this with a rifle? It was like my first thought. I'm like, you had to have shot this with a rifle. There's no way, this thing's massive.
Yeah.
Come to find out, you shot with your hand. I was like, dude.
And this was the one y'all wore after the whole time, correct?
It was the same one.
Yeah.
Bucket list.
So the first time we saw him and he was bedded, he was looking away from us and he would never turn his head all the way. So we still didn't see, you know, how good he was. And then when we tracked him walking kind of cross hill and we were across the canyon from him, that's when we could see that he was a shootable bull.
Yeah.
You know, and they can shoot whatever they want, but we want to.
Yeah, you want
to. We want to shoot an old
some
mature
sort
bull.
Of trophy management. Yeah. For the herd.
So. Yeah. Yeah, it was wild. And, you know, and then that night it was like everyone coming into camp. We were probably the first ones there. And, you know, Andrew Prinkle walks up and we're out at the fire and he's like, did you get it? And they had like a sense of it,
did
you know.
You get it?
and Rad said, he looked at me and goes, 4 yards. And Andrew goes, I'm going to go fix a drink. I'll be right back. And he's like,
gosh.
Yeah, you got to tell me a story. So, yeah, they were all so happy and kind of blown away with the whole story. But
oh, that's so awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to top that story to, like, any of your hunting adventures in the future. It's really hard to top that.
I think it's important not to try to.
Like, that is true.
That or you're dead.
Yeah, like, you don't want, you know.
You're pushing the envelope on that. Then.
This leopard, you know, jumped on my back, basically, would top that.
Yeah, I didn't intend for this one to be that way either. So, you know, it's. It's one of those things is like, I was talking to Steve Horney a couple of weeks ago, and he's like, are you crazy? Why would you do that? I'm like, well,
this man's hunted everything on earth.
Yeah. He's never done a pistol buffalo.
Oh, wow.
Hunt, and he's like, he goes, not only do I not want to do that, and I'm like, well, I intended to shoot it with a pistol, yes, but I didn't intend to shoot it at 4 yards.
That
wasn't the goal.
Yeah.
It was like, that's how things happen, and I had to do it, you know, so. Yeah, it was just wild, and I'm glad it worked out the way that it did.
Absolutely.
And, you know, this is another thing where you just got to trust your PH's instinct and make sure you're going with, like, really good people, because if Rad would have made one call that wasn't the right call, it would have been a totally different ballgame.
Absolutely. So. What did you call and tell Allie is what I want to know.
Allie's
how
is
much,
mom.
Yeah.
I didn't tell
Allie's
her.
The coolest girl in the world.
I didn't
how much
tell
did
her
divulge?
Any of the... scary stuff until
you're back home.
Until I was back home.
Yeah.
That's smart.
Because I was still out there, you know, like.
Yeah. Anything
still
could
hunting.
Happen. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, even like the last day of being the last evening, we did our sundowner kind of up at the top of that canyon that we were in. There's these Bushman paintings. Mm-hmm. And so they're ancient, thousands and thousands of years old. There's this like cave, but it's very overgrown and you can't really find it. Mm-hmm. So we're like hiking down and we have people that have been there before that were with us. We're hiking down in there and they're just yelling the whole time. It's like, you know, when people are in bear country and they're like, hey, bear, hey. They're
just
doing that.
Keeping stuff away.
Because they're like, there could be buffalo all up in here, know?
Yeah.
And from there, you're not running away. You're like, you're almost rock climbing down.
Oh.
So it's like, and there's buffalo that roam in that stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, I didn't tell her anything until I was home because we were still doing stuff that was probably stupid.
But. What'd she say when you got home? I'm like, Brett.
No, she didn't. I don't think she even knows.
Allison, don't listen to this episode.
Yeah, I don't think she cared too much. The life insurance policy was all updated. So.
Yeah, make sure it's up to date. That is really cool, man. Like,
yeah, and that had, you know, 4 or 5 more days of...
Planes game.
Hunting Planes game and, doing all that.
What plane did you get?
massive kudu I saw. I
shot a really big kudu the last day there.
Yeah. With handgun or rifle?
With rifle.
And that's the one where you were laying down and you had a rock in
you. Yeah. The only place we could get what we thought was a good shot in this hunt, we chased this kudu for one afternoon and then the next morning. Yeah. So the first day that we were hunting him, I was laying down in the prone position on this, like, there was like three rocks that were like, and I was like planking across from them. And so I wasn't touching the ground for most of my body. And there was one rock that was just like in my ribs. And I laid there for 2 hours watching this
thing.
It just walked directly away from me and would not turn one way or the other. It just walked directly away. And I was just so mad. And so we actually readjusted and went and found another spot. And he came up and I had like a split second where I could shoot him and I couldn't do it. So he walked through this opening very fast, kept going. And then we came back the next day and found him. And I think that shot was like 405 yards.
Nice.
You went from one extreme to the other. Four yards.
Yeah, there was
405 yards.
I had two shots at 530. One on a zebra, which is a big animal, and then one on a mountain reed buck, which is a small animal. They're like 70 pounds. And
that's
that one
impressive.
Was with a 2-10 scope. So
that was
probably the best shot of my trip, at least.
Yeah.
I didn't have the longest shot at the whole group, but
you had the closest, though.
I think probably
the closest, and
closest and most dangerous.
Yeah.
Longest, smallest shot.
Yeah.
That's a big difference.
Yeah. So,
wow.
Yeah, that was
trip
a lot
of a lifetime.
Fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of fun.
Crusader Safaris. Yeah. Shout out.
Really quick. Tell us a little bit about them, what their campsites look like.
Yeah, we need to
where
go out
people
there.
Can find information. I mean, 'cause this is quite the testimony for Crusaders, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know, I follow them on social media, mm-hmm. Instagram, Facebook, Crusader Safaris. Family-owned, kind of non-commercialized, although they're kind of getting big because Hornady's been hunting out
just
there
the
for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kevin Brittingham at Q is out there a lot. I've gone there a couple times mm-hmm. now. So there's quite a few. The Field Ethos guys hunt with them a lot. So.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people are posting about them, and now they're doing a lot more on social media, so they're becoming well known. But it's not one of those big commercial operations like a lot of places in South Africa have, where it's a fenced in, even if it's a fenced in 50,000 acre piece of land, it's a big chunk of land. But you're driving around in a truck, you can cover that pretty fast.
Yeah.
And they're driving you to where these specific species are and stuff like that. They're just churning hunters through there, collecting trophy fees.
Yeah.
Crusader doesn't operate that way. It's a truly a wild South African hunt. They have a little over 1 million acres.
A million?
And it's a growing area, but they have three big hunting properties and a couple smaller ones that they hunt. But the big ones, like the in Bavians River Valley where we were, I think it's 450,000 acres
of
unfenced land.
Wow.
And so you know, Cape Kudu, all the spiral horn animals, mm-hmm. Mountain reed buck, all these things are indigenous to the area. Mm-hmm. I think they have 29 species, something like
Whoa.
that are indigenous there. And then a couple that aren't. Like the type of zebra you can hunt there is not indigenous. They're trying to reintroduce the mountain zebra, which are mm-hmm. from there. And so you'll see those, but you can't hunt them.
Oh.
But like they were, I might have seen you guys those pictures. Yep. They were right outside my door.
Oh wow!
Like closer than.
How do you tell
was.
The difference between that and?
So like the Burchell zebras, they have their dark stripes, and then they have a shadow stripe.
Oh, that's
in
what
them.
I've shot.
Mm-hmm.
Shadow
the
stripe.
Mountain zebras don't have the shadow stripes.
Just black and white.
And then the stripes go all the way down their legs.
Oh.
So they're a little bit smaller. They're beautiful though.
Yeah.
Like, it was really cool just watching them outside my little chalet or whatever you want mm-hmm. to call it.
That is really cool.
But the camps are fantastic. Like mm-hmm. they built new lodges recently. Even the old lodges were very comfortable and very nice, but these new ones are very nice. Beautiful property. You're going to wake up in the morning, you walk out of your cabin and you're just in the mountains and you can just see, it's almost like Jurassic Park because the cover's so thick and there's just rolling mountains, but you'll see giraffes just walking the hillside.
That's so cool.
And just like, so cool. Yeah, I can't say enough good things about them. The quality of their pHs are not only are they amazing at hunting, but they're great people that mm-hmm. you want to be in camp with.
Yeah.
And that's another important thing. If you go, you know, 17-hour flight to Joburg and then travel the next day to camp, it would really suck if your PH was kind of an asshole and you didn't enjoy spending time with them.
Your right. PH makes
they're personable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So and they care about you. Yeah. I mean, he just messaged you the other day for him yeah. to think about you. It's just nice. Yeah.
Yep.
Lifelong friends.
Yep. So
we need Rad on the show.
You should. Yeah.
We need to go. We need to hunt with Rad.
Yeah.
We need to hunt with
you
Rad.
Do need
really.
To hunt
yeah.
with
we
Rad.
Need to take Tars by the Horns to South Africa and hunt and do a podcast.
Yes.
Yeah, we do.
That would be That's fun.
It. You're we the do. Boss. So you can approve this.
We can. Yeah. So
tell us what to do.
We
boss.
Can do it. We can do it.
That is unbelievable.
Is there a website? Just Crusader. What is it?
Yeah, I probably should have looked it up. I think it's just CrusaderSafaris.com.
Yeah, we follow him on social media. Yeah. Yeah. I follow Rad, too. He's got all the cool stuff. Yeah. I mean, I think Kevin posts more about Rad than Rad posts about himself.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, like, I think Crusader does a good job of showing what it's like there. If you look through their pictures, they posted one earlier today of Cape Buffalo that's, I mean, it's at the fire, like if this is the fire pit that we would all sit at night, it's on the other side of that, and Andrew's dog, which is a big boreable mastiff thing, is standing right next to it.
This is the one that comes in a camp that
this was a big bull.
Or a different one?
Yeah, this is a big hardhorn bull, it looked like.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's, they, that's what it's like being there, but it's...
You're out amongst it.
Yeah.
Do but they, they donate majority, like the meat that you harvest during the hunt, obviously they've got meat already packaged or ready to consume. How much of the percentage of the meat do they actually donate to local villages, schools, et cetera?
Yeah, all of the meat gets used. Yeah. You know, for camp, they feed you things that have been shot over the last few days. Yeah. So like they'll usually let it hang and in a cool spot for a couple of days or whatever, and then they'll cut it up and serve it. But yeah, a meat truck would come into camp every 2 or 3 days and they would load it up and they would take it to local villages and stuff.
That's really cool.
You know, Andrew has a big cattle operation. I think he has over 100 employees that work on, I mean, it's a big chunk of land, right?
Yeah.
So he has a bunch of employees. And so a lot of them will take meat home to their families and do that kind of stuff. But you can see it like, watching them gut whatever animal, a kudu, and they're taking the kidneys, they're taking the heart, they're taking
everything.
The liver. Everything is going with that thing. Yeah. Everything but the gut pile, basically. So it's all going in the truck and going to get
eaten. Yeah, it's going to be used, yeah.
Did you see the guys when they were, or maybe you said you didn't see them cutting up your Cape Buffalo? They would use the stomach. What was in the stomach, it's all grass. They would use that to wash their hands.
Oh, yeah.
Did they do that over there?
Yeah, they did that quite
they
a bit.
They use it to clean up because it's just grass and fluid.
Wow. That is crazy. Yeah, we got to go out there. That sounds like a blast.
Well, we have a trip this October for some Plains game, but we need to book with. We all need to get over there.
Maybe next year.
Say someone's not going to hunt, like say if Allie went with us, is there anything for non-hunters to do? Can they ride along? Can they do photo safaris?
Yeah, they can do all of that stuff. So obviously riding along is easy. Mm-hmm. There's always room in the truck for that. So if your companion or whatever just wants to video you or be around for it. And then, you know, nearby there's like it's called the Addo Elephant Reserve. It's a big reserve park that you can go drive through and see elephants and big cats
really
and
cool.
stuff
that's
like
really
that.
Cool.
That's like an hour and a half from camp, just not too far. Then, you know, like the beach is 2 hours away, beautiful beach there. There's all sorts of things you can do. And, you know, really the guys at Crusader, and when you book, you're going to book through Andrew. So you're going to talk to the guy that owns the whole thing. He will do anything that you ask. Hey, I want to hunt a few days, but I also want to spend time with my wife doing this.
Yeah.
He's going to make arrangements to do any of it.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
So like half of our group, they went a week before us and they wanted to go see Cape Town. Their entire trip to Cape Town was planned for them with Rad's dad and met them in Cape Town and was their tour guide for the whole week that
that's
they were there.
Very cool.
And
very
so
cool.
Like, you know, they go above and beyond and doing that stuff's not that expensive.
That's awesome.
The whole trip's really not that expensive. It's great.
Yeah. That's wonderful. I like that. Yeah, we need to book.
Yeah, we need to go.
We need a tourist trip to South Africa.
There you go.
We'll do a little R&D, if you will. You
know. Yeah, especially with new products.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We should be able to do that.
Yep. Yep.
I have a quick question, but this is, okay, we're off of the South African trip. But a conversation we had earlier, and I just want to make sure everyone knows this about you. Have you ever won a hot dog eating contest?
I have.
So please funny. Do tell.
I have won a hot dog eating contest.
How many hot dogs?
It wasn't like what you'd see on 4th of July. It wasn't like that, but it was like a, hey,
this guy
from
is
lunchtime
serious.
We were at a trade show, so it was like whatever time the trade show ended at 5. Who can eat the most hot dogs from the time the hot dogs come out till?
So like lunch until 5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many did you eat?
I ate 13, but I was like
13. But this is at a trade show, mind you, and you're working.
I'm working. I'm talking to customers. I'm doing all that. But I was also like, I kind of got sick of eating hot dogs, and then I turned them into chili dogs.
There you
oh,
go.
Oh, God.
So it was like, it was a mix of
that's what
all
that's
with
the bun, too, right?
Yeah. 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 Oh, wow. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, I made them even heavier than they should have been.
Hot/chili dogs at a trade show. Can we recreate this at our next trade show for Taurus?
We can do it right now.
My boss is so cool, dude.
Allie, get the dogs.
Get the 13 hot dogs.
Yeah, I don't think we have hot dogs, but I would eat them.
Okay, I'm going to put in a request to Laura that we have a hot dog stand show up. At the Taurus booth, and they're going to clock you every time you come by and get a dog.
Yeah.
Who can we?
Why am I the only one eating them? That's
exactly.
That's the worst part of this whole plan.
Who can we pit against you? Who do we know?
At work?
At work. Would Cody?
No, Chan.
No. Chan?
No one could touch me, though. They just couldn't.
Okay, but who could we at least, like, to give you some motivation?
I don't know. I think maybe we tell Trent he has to try.
Trent could probably down some hot dogs.
No, he can't. He eats like a bird half the time.
Yeah, but he'd say, I'm down. Yeah.
He'd say he's down. He'd eat a hot dog and a half. And
he would try his heart out, though.
His dad would.
Yeah, if Fred was there. Fred could eat some hot dogs.
Yeah,
probably. I feel like Fred might give you a Fred could take a hot dog. Money, yeah. But, yeah. Okay. Fred could take a hot dog down.
He could take 13 for sure. I love you, Fred.
Okay, I'm going to make this happen. Stay tuned.
Please don't.
Yeah. Are you like in full suit and tie doing this chili dog mess?
I was definitely.
Did you put like a collar napkin?
No, I didn't do that. I was definitely in like at least a button up. I was
professional.
What if a customer walks up to you while you're like mid bite?
It just looks like you're just trying to sneak lunch in or whatever.
You offer them a bite.
Excuse me, this is my 12th hot dog.
You don't tell them, but like if they happen to be there for like several hours and they're like, what?
And they see
every
this.
Time I see you, you're eating a hot dog.
13.
You know, how many have you had? Then it gets embarrassing, but that didn't happen. No one, except for the people that knew that we were doing a contest.
I'm going to try and capture every dog, though. That's my mission, is to recreate this. But I'm going to try and get at least a bite on camera of every hot dog.
I don't think we need to do this.
I think we do.
You sound like a pervert right now, babe.
No, I don't. You're making this perverted. I'm talking about chili dogs.
Yeah, pervert.
I think it's fun. What other CEO is going to do a hot dog eating contest in their booth?
None.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's right.
Our CEO is way cooler than everybody else.
We can honestly say that our boss is cooler than yours. Like, yeah,
for sure. Let's hashtag it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hey, cheers.
Yes.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers, cheers, cheers. And what are we drinking again? Just a little shameless plug for...
Yeah, these are like little whiskey sours I made with Hemingway rye whiskey.
That's really good.
Friend Pat Hemingway Adams sent this bottle to me.
Show him the label.
Show him the label.
And I thought it was fitting for the conversation we were having.
It's delicious. It's very smooth.
Very good. Yeah, it's great whiskey and makes good cocktails.
It does. I like this.
Also drinks good just on the rocks.
Yeah. Thank you, Patrick.
Yes. Yeah.
This is awesome. Absolutely awesome.
And thank you for taking the time to sit down with us once again.
Yeah.
It's good to have you back on the pod.
Glad we could do it.
And sharing your story. Man, that was an incredible. I can't wait to show the footage that goes along with this and let everyone see.
We should be able to kind of overlay the footage.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
Cheers, guys.
Thank
cheers.
You.
Thanks.
Cheers. Thank you, guys.
The Horse by the Horns podcast. By the Horns.